Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle family. How are you feeling this morning? Yes, I am so excited to get into the presence of God. If everybody wants to stand up and join me up here. You know, what I love about the presence of God is that it doesn't matter what's happened in your week. You can come up here and you can leave differently in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Happy Pastor's Appreciation Sunday. I'm so excited to honor our leaders. They're so amazing. All right, we're just going to pray and get right into it. Father, I just thank you that we can come here today and bless you with our praise and bless you with our worship. Jesus, you are such an amazing God. You're such an amazing Father, and you give us so much in your presence, but today we want to bless you. So God, let us just throw aside every single thing that we've gone through this week, good or bad. We want to come to you with pure hearts. God, we want to come to you with pure worship, pure praise, unadulterated, God. We're going to forget about what's going on to the left and to the right of us, and we're just going to give you our full attention in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, all right, are you ready to get into the presence? Yes, I'm so excited. Come on, clap. Here we go.
Take Just like heaven on earth. like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. I see His glory. Feels like heaven on earth.
Something's moving, something's changing. I see His glory. Feels like heaven on earth.
Here on earth. Come on, let me hear a shout of praise. Hallelujah. God, if we want to see heaven on earth, we've got to come to a place of full submission, God. We will not hold anything back from You. Jesus, I thank You that we've praised You and now we can worship You. God, with everything that we have, we worship You. Hallelujah, God. We're not too proud to say that we need You today. We need You every single day, every single moment. Every single moment we need You, Jesus. Realign our thoughts right now to focus on You, to give You the attention You deserve.
Lord, I need You.
we declare and we confess, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need you, Lord. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. And teach my song to rise to you. Come on, cry out to him right now. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Oh, teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you, my Jesus. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And teach my song. Oh God, how I need you. do this without you. We rely on your word. We rely on your spirit. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we need you. We can't do this on our own. We need you, God. We need you, Father. We don't have it all together, Lord. We need you. God, we just say yes to you this morning. We choose you. We choose you over the world. We choose you over our own will. Jesus, we choose you.
My soul says yes, says yes, says yes. My soul says yes to your will. My soul says yes, says yes. My soul says yes to your will.
Come on, all he needs is your yes this morning. My soul
says yes, says yes. My soul says yes. Says yes to your will.
Come on, cry out yes. My soul says yes. We say yes. We say yes. My soul says yes. We say yes
to your will.
Come on, cry out yes this morning.
My soul says yes. Says yes, says yes. My soul says yes to your will.
Oh, my soul says yes. We cry out, Jesus. We say yes. My soul. Says yes, we say yes to your will. We say yes, my soul says yes. We say yes with everything, Lord. My soul says yes, says yes. Yes to his will.
Says yes. Says yes. My soul says yes. Says yes to your will. My soul says yes. Says yes. Says yes. Says yes to your will.
I just need a little more from Pastor Tony's message that will be on television for the next few weeks. It was on Jehovah or Mehovah. How many of you remember that message? Great word from God. Many times, even during our worship time, we want to be moved in a certain way. I want to feel something, God. But you know something? This has nothing to do with feelings.
This has nothing to do with whether or not you feel God's Spirit moving or not, whether you feel an outpouring of God's power in your life. It doesn't matter. What matters is the will of God is that we worship Him. If we always rely upon our emotions, we're in big trouble. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Sometimes you got to worship God when you feel the least likely. When it feels like hell is licking your toes and everything is collapsing around you. That's when you praise Him. That's when you worship Him. That's when you press into Him. Well, I want to be moved. Well, you know what? You don't get moved until you move. Amen. Paul and Silas in the lowest part of the prison. They had just had their backs beaten to blood. They didn't feel like it. The only reason they're in prison is because they love Jesus. That was it. That was the only reason they were there. They were shackled hands and feet, backs beaten till they were bloodied, rats running around, defecation in the corner, urination probably right underneath them. But they made a decision at midnight. We're going to praise Him. I want you to realize they probably didn't feel like praising Him. They were uncomfortable. They were hurting. But they made a decision. It doesn't matter what I feel like. It matters who He is. And He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Lord of all. And I will worship Him because He deserves it, not because I feel like it. Come on now, bless Him this morning. Bless your God this morning. Praise through your situation today. He's a good God, and He's greatly to be praised. He said, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the God that will provide for you. You've been wondering when God's going to show up, and God is saying, no, when are you going to show up? Show up and praise me, and I'll release the anointing that will destroy the yoke of bondage. It's time to be people that will praise Him in the middle of the storm, not when everything's going beautiful. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Come on, give Him one more praise. Give Him it right from your spirit. Come on, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, we worship You. We thank You for Your goodness, oh God. We bless Your name, Jesus. We bless Your name, Jesus. Come on, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Praise through. Come on, maybe you've never shouted before. This is your day to shout. We bless You.
My soul says yes.
Come on, say yes.
Says yes. Yes.
Have our new married couple in the house this morning. And as I was doing the wedding, part of the little exhortation was, for better, for worse, richer, poorer, sickness and health, so long as we both shall, come on, as long as we both shall live. And I said, I have people come to my office and say, Pastor, I just deserve to be happy. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't see that as part of the vows. Can I hear an amen? Because if you've been married for any period of time, how many of you know you're not always happy? And all the married couples said, amen. We rely so much on our emotions. And God, He doesn't at all. He gave us emotions. Emotionalism is given to you by God. But when you rely so much on emotions that you allow it to override the will of God, then you've missed the whole plan of God. We've got to realign ourselves. Because in this motion, in this moment, some of you relinquished your opportunity for victory. And you did that because you didn't feel it. Don't matter. And you need to learn this. Because this is what's going to get you through in the hard times. Because there are hard times in life. Can I hear an amen? You know, I wasn't going to share this, but I think I am. Come here, Ron. Some of you don't know, but my wife and I had a flood 6 weeks ago. And the flood wasn't a small flood. Like, it was 2 feet up on our sliding glass door. So they came into our house and they decide, you know, they had to start ripping things and tearing things. And we haven't been able to live at home. This is, I believe, our fifth or sixth week we haven't lived at home. We've had to live in hotels. Our walls are gone. Our floors are gone. Probably half of the house worth of damage. And you know what's amazing is that it really, I mean, it bothers, like, normalcy. But man, you can't stop praising because anything's gone wrong. I mean, God is still good, amen? The rain stinks. Floods are bad. But you know what? All that's just stuff, and life just kind of happens. But if you allow life to dictate your relationship with God, you're in trouble. You know, my wife, we've just learned how to praise Him through all this stuff. And well, listen, we didn't learn this because of the flood. We learned this way before the flood because we've been pastoring for 20 some odd years. You learn it real early in ministry. But, you know, you don't know that. And some people say, well, Pastor, we didn't know. Well, because we didn't tell you. And we don't act that way because, honestly, we're going to praise Him through the good times and the bads. It really don't matter what the problem is. My son is very interesting. Pastor Chad, he said, I've got to come out to the house because he said, whenever you say that, you know, you never depict it the way it actually is. And I said, well, you know, what do you say? I'm a liar. He goes, no. He says, you're always just praising Him. So it doesn't, we never really know how bad it is. So he said, I had to come see it for myself. And he said, okay, I can leave now. But you learn, this is important. You need to learn how to praise Him through the good times and the bad. Through feeling it or not feeling it. Through, wow, I see the hand of God, or God, where's your hand? It doesn't matter what you're seeing, it matters who He is. And when you get that, it changes everything for you. It changes because you're no longer being dictated to by this world. You've learned how to rise above and live as the eagles. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the truth. You learn this. Now, I know that's from me, and I'm the guy, but I need you to know my wife, she's a powerhouse. But she's a powerhouse because she learned when she was diagnosed with cancer not to whine. She learned how to praise more. She learned how to praise through it. Every problem that we've ever had, we've learned how to praise through it. You know, I give myself, I hope you don't mind me teaching a little, I give myself about an hour to whine. Really, I do. I give myself about an hour. And I whine like a little girl sometimes. Not that, you know, but I whine. You know, I'll whine for about an hour. And then I kick myself in the britches and say, get back up. Here we go. And then you just don't stop. Because you can't allow this world to dictate your reaction to God.
So the first response that came out was that all things work together for good to those who love Him. How many of you in the room today love God? Awesome. So your absolute confidence every time is, and your first response to anything that comes in is, everything works out for my good. Everything works. It has no choice but to work out for my good. I don't care what the natural story is. I don't care how many horror stories I get told. That's not my story. My story, because I love God, is everything works out for our good. And it does.
Now, I don't know if you saw that or not, but she tried to let go of my hand. And I didn't let go because she would never have let go of the microphone. Can you turn to, on your way back to your chair, can you turn to five people and say, listen, I'm going to praise him through it all. Come on, tell five people, I'm going to praise him through it all.
To settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
We want to invite you to come out to Harvest Fest. It's going to be Wednesday, October 31st at 6 p.m. We're going to have games, we're going to have inflatables, we're going to have candy, and we're going to have a... What are you doing?
We're just getting ready to decorate our trunk for Trunk or Treat.
But this is the stuff from the kids' wing.
Well, can we borrow it?
Sure, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you're welcome. Anyway, if you want to decorate a trunk like these two are doing, make sure you sign up at the Info Center today.
His Tabernacle, amazing news. Tap your neighbor real quick. Make sure they're paying attention to this. This is so, so important for who you are and what God's going to do in your life this year. Look, it's the end of the year, but I believe it's going to be the best season. We are starting another season and round of groups. What does that mean? It means everyone should be connected to the family of God because that's how God set it up. And we know it's easy to get lost in the sanctuary, but it's really hard to get lost in someone else's else's house. It's really hard to get lost, sitting around a circle, loving on each other, creating relationships. So I'm going to encourage you, right out front at the information center, there's signups. Also, look around the room. There are group coaches and hosts all over the place. Guys, just put your hands up real quick. We want to encourage you, find somebody, make your way out to the info center, or hop right online. I know you have a smartphone. Go right now to histabernacle.com, click the groups button, and get signed up for a group. They're starting the first week of October. Make sure you're in. Make sure you're a part of a group so that you can grow and you can see your connections rise. We love you. Have a phenomenal day.
That was so quiet. It's Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Let's give a shout. Hallelujah. You are all absolutely brilliant for being in the house of God this morning. You know, we were singing that song, that My Soul Says Yes. And we're all, every single one of us, sitting here in this room because we got invited to church and we said yes. And so I want to encourage all of you to make sure that you're inviting your friends, your family, people you love, strangers on the street. Invite them out to church. God has done something wonderful in your life, and He wants to do wonderful things in their lives too. So give them an opportunity to say yes, okay? We want to welcome our guests this morning, our guests who are actually here and said yes when someone invited you. If you are new to the house this morning, this is your first Sunday with us, we want to tell you that we're happy to have you here with us. If you wouldn't mind raising your hand, we want to get a gift into your hands. If you have not already received an information packet this morning, any guests in the house, raise your hand. Just let us know you're here. Welcome. We're so happy that you're here. We'll get you a guest packet. Anybody else? I'm having trouble a little seeing, so you guys all look around and help me out. Make sure that you welcome people, even if they're sitting in your row and you don't recognize them. Introduce yourself. If you want to have friends, you must show yourself friendly in the house of God. So make sure you're welcoming. We want to welcome our online guests today. You are brilliant for tuning in this morning. You are a part of our family, and we love you. And thank you for joining us this morning. Oh, and if you're a guest in the house, I don't want to forget this. We have a little sort of guest party that happens after service right over here in this hallway. We have a guest reception where you'll get to meet some of the pastors and staff. And today, since it's Pastor Appreciation Sunday, everyone, please partake. We have cupcakes to celebrate this very special day for everyone out in the foyer after the service. How many people here are already in a group? Wow, not enough. That's only about 30% of us. One more time, if you're in a group, raise your hand. If you're not in a group, talk to one of these people that has their hand up and find out how much fun and amazing it is to be a part of a group. It is something that God commands us to do. He says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So get in a group and find out how much fun it is to live life with the people that are sitting next to you, okay? And then the last announcement I have is that we have a brand new Next Steps class starting. Everybody say Next Steps. Next Steps is our education process. If you want to know who you are in Christ and how to grow in Christ, you need to get educated. And so we have the Next Steps 2 character building class starting November 6th, which is Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. And this is for anyone that has completed step 1. And so you want to get that on your calendar and join the character building class. Amen? Amen? Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, it's one of my favorite times of the service because I love that we get to prosper in our finances. Honestly, I don't want to deal with finances without God being involved in my finances. How many of you can say amen to that? I want nothing to do with finances unless God is involved. And when He's involved, the blessings so chase us down. But one of our common natures of mankind is to be acquisitive. And that's that mine, mine, mine. You hear little kids when they get a toy or candy, mine. I know Sophia, if you give her candy and you want to share some of her candy, she could say mine. But from a young age, we've taught her, listen, you share everything you have. You will give everything you have. But as adults, with our finances, we can get to be the same way as mine. It's mine. And the parable of the Good Samaritan is a great reflection of that. Because the two people that passed, the priest and the Levite, passed by the person that was hurting, saying, well, this is mine. I don't have to deal with them. But the third person, the Samaritan that passed by, had the spirit of what's mine is yours. And that's how we need to be with the Lord and with his finances, because actually everything belongs to the Lord. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein. Everything belongs to the Lord. And in Matthew 22:21, it says, render unto God the things that are God. So when we have that spirit of mine, we need to remember the parable of the Good Samaritan and share generously what God has blessed us with, what belongs to God that we get to be good stewards with. And then as we're good stewards, it's not just the joy of being a good steward. There's so much joy when you share something. Anybody else get that feeling? When you share something, it just brings such great joy to your spirit to be able to share. But even better than the joy, then God blesses. God blesses it on top of that joy. We are just spoiled children of God, aren't we? We get joy and blessing in our giving. So if you're ready this morning to render unto God what belongs to him, stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration. The word of God says the tithe is holy unto the Lord. That means the tithe belongs to the Lord. I actually had somebody stop me in a grocery store before saying, how can you demand 10% from people? Well, first of all, we don't demand anything from anyone. The word of the Lord says the tithe belongs to the Lord. So I simply was able to explain to her that the word tithe actually means 10%. So that's where it comes from. The word of God, the tithe is holy to the Lord. So this morning we get to give him, we get to return to him what is his, and he will bless it in return. So let's prophesy our supernatural declaration from the word of the Lord. Let's speak this over our finances right now. Deuteronomy 28 says, If I obey, then I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Right along with us.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. Hold sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Yeah, yeah.
a great morning, right? Good, good, good morning. Listen, today is an awesome, awesome, awesome day. Everybody knows what day it is, right? What is it? No, hold on. What day is it? You guys are not in sync. Listen, we want to start off with a quick video. Media, can we have that video with lights? Thank you.
Intentional, never failing. I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, she's intentional, never failing. All things are working
for my good.
'Cause she's intentional,
he's intentional.
Hey, and he's never failing. All things are working
for my good.
He's intentional.
He's
never failing. All things are working. Hey, I know that all things are working for my good. Yes, they are. Yeah, I know that all things are working for my good. I can smile again, and I don't have to worry, 'cause it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me. Come on, sing that out, say that.
I don't have to worry, 'cause
it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me.
It's working for me.
And I can hold my head up.
It's working.
Hey, get your confidence back.
Everybody stand to your feet. Let's give honor where honor is due. Don't we have the best pastors that a church can ask for? They really like it when we clap for them. They really like it a lot. Can we do it again? All right, you may be seated. You know, watching these pictures and seeing the progression of where we are 20 plus years in the making. You know, I've seen these pictures and, you know, some of them are old, and thank God our pastor ages well. Because, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'd still be sticking around. If you... Just teasing. But, you know, it's amazing when I look around the room and, of course, going through the progression of years. I've been here. My wife and I started attending 16 plus years ago. And, you know, I remember sitting in a sanctuary just down the road, and some of you were there too, is the sanctuary was small. And we had to go to the school because we outgrew the sanctuary. But I'm talking when we were first coming, there was like 40 to 50 people in attendance. And you know what? Our pastors have never changed the vision. They've never changed the vision. And you know what? I can remember all the way back then. And for those of you that have been here for more than 10 years, you've always heard the vision. We're going someplace. We're making a difference in our community. We're going to be a multi-site, you know, church. We're going to be a regional church. Listen, church, we are making a difference in our community. And it's because we've heard it from day one with the vision of our pastors. And, you know, we get one day out of the entire year to acknowledge and celebrate our pastors. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it's just one day, but ultimately, you know, we want to be able to celebrate them today. This is obviously Pastors Appreciation Month. We've been talking about it for the last few weeks, and today's the day where we get to celebrate them. We got, of course, cupcakes out front afterwards, but this point right now is amazing. And, you know, real quick, what I want to start off with is I want to ask how many people have gotten saved or rededicated here at HT. If you could stand to your feet. All of you that have been saved or rededicated here in this house. Not you, Pastor. If you got saved here, I mean, we're in trouble. Look around the room. That's saved and rededicated right here in this house. Through His Tabernacle Family Church. Now, the next one is, how many have been through or are going through Rock Solid Faith? Stand to your feet if you're not standing. You can still stay standing. If you are standing up, for those of you saved, rededicated, or going or have been through Rock Solid Faith, stay standing. All right, now, how many of you have been impacted, and if you're not already standing, have been impacted by No More Hurt? Stay standing, stand up. Look around the room. You see, this is impact. This is because of the vision and the heartbeat of our pastors. This entire room is impacted. And you know, this is the amazing part about our pastors, is they are sold out. They are sold out, they're driven. And they're making a difference in our lives. I 16 and a half years ago, pastor, of course, he throws me under the bus a lot. More times than I can count. I never saw myself in the office that I'm in today. But because our pastors, they saw something in me and they see something in us. We are now children of God. We now are being taught Rock Solid Faith. We are now being equipped. We are now also learning how to be healed from offenses. Thank God for Pastor Rhonda's book and her teachings and just what she brings to the table. Listen, you look in this room, we're a changed people. We're a changed community. But you know what? If they weren't here, every one of us would be still sitting down, and actually none of us would be in this room. You know, and Pastor talks a lot about domino effect. You know, it's amazing. Pastor Shannon Palko is not here this morning. She affected my wife and I. But there's a ton of people that are here because of what we've done. And it's a domino. It just happens. Thank God for our pastors. Can we give them a round of applause, please? You can be seated. Now, I'm stealing a portion of his message this morning, and I'm talking in Ezekiel chapter 3, or at least I'm hitting on some portions of it, talking about even what we're referring to with the watchman on the wall. But in Ezekiel chapter 3, 17 through 19, it says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." What this is talking about is we're talking about the shepherds of this house. They have brought warning to our community. We are sitting in this room because we have heeded to that warning. We have heard it and we've responded. But because they're the watchmen on the wall, because they're the ones that are sowing their time, they're investing into our souls, they're investing into our spiritual growth and our maturity. Listen, this is where we can celebrate them today. This is where we can honor them today. And I want to also end with this verse, and it's 1 Timothy chapter 5, 17 and 18. It says, "The elders who perform their leadership duties well are to be considered worthy of a double honor, financial support, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching the word of God concerning eternal salvation through Christ. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain to keep it from eating. And the worker is worthy of his wages. He deserves fair compensation. One of the things that we do here a lot, we do really well, is we give to those that come and visit, and evangelists, those that are guest speakers in the house. We bless them because that's the type of church we are. Today, I want to encourage you. Let's bless our pastors beyond even their imagination. We've been talking about this for the last few weeks. Let's bless them above and beyond what they would even think or imagine, because I want to show them, we need to show them the support and the appreciation for what they bring to the table. They are warning us. They are teaching us. They are equipping us. So my challenge to you is, if you have yet to prepare throughout this week, I want you to pray right now. And let's bow our heads and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for our pastors. I thank you, Father, for the shepherds that you have placed over this house, the apostles, Lord, the drive, the vision, the passion that they have, Lord God. We are who we are because of them. So, Lord, we pray a special blessing upon them, an anointing, Lord God, that you would increase them, that you would strengthen them, and, Father, that you would protect them from any hurt, harm, or danger, Lord God. And Father, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that Holy Spirit, you will speak to us, even this morning, on what we're to give, that, Father, we're obedient to answer your call to be a blessing to your shepherds that you've placed here at this house of His Tabernacle Family Church. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, we honor you, and we thank you for our pastors. We thank you, Lord God, for the time that they sow, the investment they bring to the table. Because, Father, the lives, we saw it. The number of people standing in this room, it's amazing to see. After 20 years, how far we've come. And we honor you first and foremost, Father. But Father, we pray you bless us as we bless them today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. All right, listen. So what we're going to do, same thing as offering. Can everybody stand to your feet? So what we want to do right now is we want to bring our offerings forward. And this is, again, a pastor's appreciation where we are showing honor and respect to our pastors. Amen? So if we could do it just like we do with offering, just come forward. I'm not going to do the blessing speech because we're giving our pastors, and I don't think there is one, honestly. Our pastors are blessed going in. Our pastors are blessed going out. All right, bring your offerings forward, please, and bless your pastor this morning. If you're online and you want to do a text to give, you could actually text the same number and text pastor and text your amount for what you want to give this morning. Thank you. Again, that's pastor in the keyword. Send it to the text to give, keyword pastor, and send your offering and bless your pastors. Amen.
Praise the Lord. My wife and I just want to say how much of an honor it is to pastor. Many of you don't know, but we live in the Northeast. How many of you know you live in the Northeast? If you walked outside today, you know you lived in the Northeast. And in the Northeast, this is a very successful church, especially in the size town that we're in. And we're just very honored to be able to be blessed to be able to pastor you and your families. And we just want to say thank you for sowing into our lives. You know, as you sow, you shall reap. So I just want to pray for all those that have sowed. Father, we just bind our hearts together. All those that have sown into their pastor, Father, sown into your kingdom. We pray, Father, for a double blessing upon them in the name of Jesus. God, we declare your covenant over them that not one of their family members will be lost. We declare, God, that no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding will be in their homes. And God, they will all prosper and be in good health, even as their soul prospers. So, Lord, we just speak blessing over your house in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't have a lot of time to preach, only about an hour. Amen. Brother Terry, I hope you get that verse ready for us. And we're going to have you read that verse. So, I mean, how do you pick up from there? I just want you to know that it's cold outside. How many were watching me outside this morning? I just want to thank the Bible school students for bringing me coffee. Who gave me that breakfast sandwich? I love you. It was a hot breakfast sandwich from Taco Bell. And it was very good. But you know, I love being out front. I love being out there and waving at you and telling you that we love you. It's important that you know that you're loved. You know, we live in a world today that love is not very well given away. Amen? You know, people say they love you, but they always want something in return. There's always a secret button somewhere. And we just want you to know we love you. And at this house, you are loved. Can you turn to someone and say, you are loved in this house? Gentlemen, I do want to remind you that there's a men's conference. And that is November 2nd at 7 p.m. through November 3rd at 4 p.m. at His Thousand Hills. You need to see Bruce Girardi. Where's Bruce Girardi? Bruce and Pastor Banfield. Where's Pastor Banfield? Very, very good. There's Pastor Banfield in the back. Brother Girardi's over here. If you'd like to go, gentlemen, you need to go to this conference. It will bless you. And also, you can build some godly friends. Some of you need to get out of the bars. The only way you're going to do that is build some godly friends. Can I hear an amen? Whoa, that was kind of quiet. Oh, Jesus. I'm very honored this morning to have both of my parents in the house, Ma and Al, if I could have you stand, and Dad and Mary, if I could have you stand. My mom and my father are both here, and we're honored to have them in the house. You know, give honor where honor's due. I'm blessed. I'm very blessed. Last week, we started a new series called Watchmen on the Wall, and that God has called you and I to be the most powerful people on this planet. There's no greater privilege on this planet than being the watchman on the wall. We have the privilege of sharing that Jesus is good. Amen? Amen. I said, Jesus is good. Amen. I said, Jesus is good. Amen. I can't hear you. Jesus is good. Jesus is good, man. It's an exciting thing to know that our God is good and not bad, that he loves us. He takes care of us. And you know, sometimes we, you know, I will say this, you know, God is never late, but he's very rarely early. How many of you know that? You know, and we hang on, you know, we declare his goodness even in the midst of that moment that we're wondering. So we've talked about last week about the good news of Jesus Christ, that we're not there to bash people and tear them down, but as a watchman on the wall, their job is to stand up here and to protect the community. That if something is coming that's danger, the watchman on the wall will stand up there and blow the shofar. Remember, there's always a sound to warning. I said, there's always a sound to warning. And you and I are the sound that God has on this planet. We are the voice of heaven here. Many people say, well, God can do whatever he wants, however he wants. God is sovereign. And they misconstrue the mentality of sovereignty. Sovereignty is that God can do all things except two things. And that is, God cannot go against his word, and God will not go against your will. And in that, God has one plan to save this earth, one plan to save your friends, one plan to save your family, and it's you. Turn to someone and say, you're the watchman. And it's true, you and I are the watchman. The problem is this, is that many people have stopped being watchmen, and why? Why is it that most people, let's just be real, in this congregation, you'll go a whole year and never share your faith with anybody? I actually was at a place of business, and this young man opened himself up and started talking about the Lord because he knew who we were. Started talking about the Lord. He felt free to talk to about us, about Jesus. And I'm talking to him, and I asked him this question. How many people here know that you're born again? And he goes, I don't know. Which means he's not a good watchman. You know, the question comes down to is if you and I are called to make a difference, if you and I are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came, he died on a cross, and that without the blood of Jesus, you cannot go to heaven. That is the good news. Somebody paid the price for your sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no greater message of goodness than to know that somebody gave his life for you and I so that we don't have to give our own. You see, Christ paid it all. Can I hear an amen? And in that, that is the great news. But why are so many not sharing the good news? Why are so many not speaking about the goodness of our God? Why are so many closet Christians? Well, you know, I honestly believe this. I don't believe that there's any malice in the majority of people. I believe the majority of it is we don't know how or we're intimidated. And today I want to talk about that. Is that all right? I want to talk about why many people don't share the gospel. Why some of you will go a whole year and nobody will know that you're born again. You'll never lead anybody to Jesus. You won't spread the gospel or the good news at all. You'll go a whole year without it. But why? And I really believe it's rooted in this process. And I believe that over the next few weeks, we're going to conquer this and that you are going to be the greatest watchman that God has placed in your sphere and circle of influence that anybody has ever seen. And that God is going to give you souls like you've never seen before. God is going to bring you to bring your friends to salvation and your mom and your dad back to the Lord. It's time to recognize that God has raised you up. Come on now. God has raised you up to be a great watchman. Can I hear an amen? How do I blow the trumpet? How do I sound the alarm? Well, the Bible is very clear, and I'm just going to, actually, because of time-wise, I'm going to swoop over the verse, Ezekiel 33, 1 through 6. When I bring a sword upon, when I bring a sword upon the land, the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him a watchman. Turn to someone and say, I'm a watchman. And when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then he, whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. Well, did you hear that? He who takes warning will save his life. We champion a lot of things on this planet. Oh, I just felt, see, I felt this go up in my spirit. We champion our businesses, we champion our philosophies, we champion our likes and our dislikes, but we don't champion Jesus. I had a man in my last church who got into this government thing. He was an anti-government guy, and he was adamant against anti-government stuff. Now, I don't really care what he believed. The issue was, I watched him stop being the Sunday school teacher, and I watched him championing anti-government. And I pulled him aside one day, and I said, do you realize that if you put half the energy in sharing the gospel, how many people could get saved? We share so much other than Christ. What's happened is there has to be a shift in our life again. Because we are not here to take up residence. The Bible says we are sojourners here. The Bible says this is not our home. The Bible says if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. The Bible does say, occupy till I come. Which means we're here for reason, for purpose, for destiny. And the destiny is to be that watchman that when we have the opportunity to blow the horn, to warn them, to tell them that without Christ, you cannot go to heaven, to warn them not to be some religious freak, but to tell them the goodness of our God. That is when we are supposed to champion the kingdom of heaven. But many champion so many other things, but they never champion Christ. Today, I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to challenge you to champion Jesus. I'm here to challenge you to declare the trumpet of God, to bring warning to the people that God has surrounded you with. Remember, and I've said this 1,000 times, the person you hate the most is the one you will not share the gospel with. Because if you actually believe the Bible, then you know that without the blood of Jesus applied, they can't go to heaven. So if they cannot go to heaven without Christ, but you're unwilling to share, then you truly despise them eternally, not just naturally. There's a need to have a shift in the body. The Bible calls us watchmen because this is our job. I don't believe that many people are ashamed of Christ. I just believe that we don't know how to share or how to blow the trumpet. I believe that many of us are intimidated because of the lack of teaching, and that's why we're teaching this on a Sunday morning. Not to bash you, but to build you so that you'll have the tools and the weapons to go out and the shofar to go out, and when they see the enemy coming, you can blow it loud. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. Romans 10:14 says this, but how will people call on Jesus in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe if they have not heard? And how will they hear without a messenger? Turn to them and say, you're the messenger. That's right. You are the messenger. You are the watchman on the wall. God has put people around you that only you are going to be able to reach. You've wondered why you're here in Elmira. I hate Elmira. I hate Chemung County. I'd rather live down south. If I could just move, my life would be better. No, it wouldn't. You want to know why? Because you're still there. The reason you're here is because God's got a destiny for you. The reason you're breathing is God's got purpose for you. And listen, if you want to move down south, then get your job done here quick. God will give you a new assignment, but you can't get a new assignment without fulfilling the old assignment. Who said that? You can't fulfill, let me see, you can't, never mind, I can't even say it again. Here we go. How many of you ever met somebody that was just a crazy Christian? I mean, they were a nutcase. I mean, they were a basket. They were crazy. I mean, you were ashamed of Jesus for them. Amen? I'm talking, well, hallelujah. I've got to tell you about the Lord. You know, they draw the Lord. And all the sinners are looking at him and saying, whoa. We all have met the crazy Christian. Can I hear an amen? And I really believe that you don't want to be a crazy Christian. Tristan says, I don't want to be a crazy Christian. I know you don't want to be a crazy Christian. And this is why so many people are not sharing the gospel, because they're afraid that they're going to be called the crazy Christian. They're afraid they're going to be called some nutcase, some religious freak. And I want to tell you this, honestly, Jesus said this, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. You can do it the right way and people are still going to reject you. You can do it the right way and they're still going to call you crazy. But there is a right way to share the gospel and a wrong way to share the gospel. Can I hear an amen? Running up to somebody and saying, you're going to hell in a handbasket. You're worthless without Jesus does not bring good news. Running up to somebody and say, you're living in an adulterous affair and you're going to burn in the bellows of hell and Satan is going to lick your toes and you're going to fry, daddy, fry, daddy, fry. It's not good news. This is called the good news. Listen, there is a reality that if you reject good news or you reject a warning, there always is a penalty. Can I hear an amen? But man, people respond to the good news rather quicker than they respond to the bad news. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. God is good. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. Your life is not your own. He's got awesome things designed just for you. But what's happened is we've all got around the nuts. So therefore, we don't want to be a crazy Christian ourselves. So it's important that you learn how to comfortably share your faith. You need to learn how to share your faith. How many of you remember the very first time you shared your faith? How many of you went, you were bold and it was just like you had no intimidation at all? How many of you are a little, can you be honest? How many of you are a little intimidated to share your faith? Amen. I want to share this with you that is normal. Turn to somebody and say, you are normal. No, you got to have a little snide voice in there. You are normal. Because you always thought they weren't. I mean, that's just the way. I want to show you this because I think it's important for us to see that it takes practice in becoming good at sharing the gospel. And many of us just want to step out there and wow. You know, it's funny watching. I remember when I first started preaching, my very first sermon was an hour sermon, and I did it in like, I think it was 7 minutes flat. I mean, woo. I was bad. I remember when I was a youth pastor in Harveys Lake, Pennsylvania, I stood up and I started preaching. And man, as I'm preaching, I wake up in the middle of my sermon kind of thing. And I hear my voice like this. And I want you to know that God loves you very much. And I said, wow, you're irritating. And over time, I practiced. And therefore, I have become better at sharing the gospel. I've become a better communicator because I'm practicing the gospel of Christ. I'm practicing my skills. And you see, many of us just want to step out tomorrow and be great evangelists, but there's a reality of learning how to practice our skill, even sharing our faith and being a good watchman. Remember, the job of the watchman was to blow the trumpet when all of a sudden something dangerous was coming. Can you imagine standing up there and going like this? Anybody ever played trumpet before? Someone bought me a shofar. Do you know what that is? It's that big ram's horn that you blow. Woo, woo, woo. And I went. I couldn't do that thing. And finally I got. Man, you don't want to be a watchman on the wall and go, beep. It's a lot like this. We have a video for you. Now, how many of you noticed that you might have been that little kid? But man, even that professional trumpeter started off going. He had to get his lips conditioned. He had to start practicing his skill. And sharing the gospel, many of us, we are afraid to share the gospel because we don't have a lot of skill. But I want you to know something. If you never start sharing, then you're never practicing. If you're never practicing, then you can't increase with your skill. You're so afraid to share the gospel because you're wondering if you're going to do it right. We're going to show you how to start doing it next week. But what I want to do is I want to make sure you understand this really clear, because many people don't ever start because they're afraid of failure. Only failure comes when you never start. I don't think you got that. The only way to truly, genuinely fail is when you don't start. And there are so many that don't start for fear of failure. You've got to know that if you don't step out on nothing, you can't land on something. That's called faith. God wants to start exercising you and bringing you to a place of learning how to share the gospel of Christ. But God can't do that if you don't start sharing your faith. If you don't start living your life. You don't start living? That's right. You don't start living your faith. People don't hear half as much of what you say as what you live. You can stand up there and start preaching the gospel, but man, when you got that beer in your hand and you're dropping the F-bomb every other word, you got to know they stop hearing you. Come on now, am I out there? Well, Pastor, you're just legalistic. Really? Let me ask you a question. If I stood up here and started cussing, dropping the F-bomb, what would you say? Well, I'd be okay with that. I don't think so. Well, you're the pastor. No, you are too. See, we're called believers before we're ever called a title. Amen? I had a man say to me, well, you know, I just believe that you can live any way you want, Pastor. I said, oh, great. So I'm going to have 16 wives. How are you coming to my church? Oh, no, that's weird. Really? It's weird? Well, yeah, it's weird. Do you want to know why? Because whether you realize it or not, every one of us have standard placed within us because the Word of God declares in the book of Romans that God has written the law of God on our own hearts. So therefore, ask a sinner how a Christian should live and they'll tell you. It's the truth, isn't it? Ask a Christian how a Christian should live and they'll fabricate it. It's amazing, even with Pastor Cody, when we're starting to bring in youth evangelists for our Upper Conference. Pastor Cody actually has, I'm talking like all these big names. These names are all over TV. Pastor Cody actually gets on their Instagram and their, help me now, Facebook, their social media, and checks them out. Why? Because you can preach the greatest message in the world, but if you're living a lifestyle that's ungodly or one that the world is wondering, they have stopped hearing the good news. Can I hear an amen? Are you out there this morning? I know I'm preaching good because I know this is the truth. See, it's not just what we say, it's how we live. In fact, it's actually more how we live than how we say. My wife literally led an entire office to the Lord because while she was at this office working a secular job, we had actually had a house. And in this house, we had bought a landowner contract. And because I was an evangelist, so one week you make $300, the next week you make $1,000, and the next week you make no dollars. So no bank was giving us a mortgage. We had a piece of property, and we sold the piece of property for $10,000. We put this down on the house, and so we were able to buy it. We actually paid the guy every single month. It was an exorbitant amount of money, you know, because of the ability not to get a regular loan. And so we're paying a lot of money. And I'm on the road as an evangelist after 3 years. And all of a sudden, a man, a banker and a policeman show up at the front door and knock on the door. And my wife was home with the kids. The kids were under 6 years old. Opened the door and the banker said, you have not paid a mortgage payment in 3 years. So therefore, you need to know that you are being expelled. And we said, what do you mean? We paid our mortgage payment every single month. We've got proof. Well, we paid it to the man who we bought it from. He never made the payment. He pocketed the payment. And so all of a sudden, now we've got $20,000+ invested into this house. We made it our own home. And now it's no longer our home. The bank took it back, not from us, I guess, but more from him because he kept all the money. Well, all this is happening while my wife is working secularly at this job. And so she's at this job and people know what's going on and they're watching her. She's still singing. The joy of the Lord is her strength. She's still walking before the Lord and not complaining, not whining, not hating, but truly, my wife truly, she did a little bit better than I did. She loved these folks and really was out there to be a blessing and not a cursing. Do you realize because this whole office watched my wife literally all of them, every one of them gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't stand up and preach. She didn't stand up and tell them they were going to hell. She didn't stand up and tell them that they better get right. But her life proclaimed the good news that even in the midst, listen now, people watch your life more when hell is happening than when heaven is. They want to watch your actions and your reactions, whether it's real or fake, because you don't know what's in an orange until it gets squeezed. How many of you like orange juice? Well, I want to remind you that before you can ever get to the juice, you have the outer peel. Then you have that skin thing. Then you have the wedges. After you get the wedge out, then you got to break more skin, and then you have every single bit of that orange juice is still encapsulated. How many of you have ever had nasty orange juice? You don't know if it's going to be nasty until you break all of the product. You don't know what's inside of you until your product gets broken open. And the world is watching us. This is the greatest part about the gospel of Christ. When Christ is real in you, I'm not talking being perfect. I'm not talking that you don't make mistakes. I'm not talking that, listen now, everything is honky-dory all the time. But I'm talking that in the midst of this trial and tribulation, you're showing that God is good all the time. See, you would never know what my wife and I are going through until I told you this morning. Why? Why? Because we don't live that way. We don't live in what we're in. We live where we're going. Why? Because God is not stuck in today. God is the God of tomorrow. And if I can live and walk by faith and not by sight, then I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've already got the victory, even though in the middle it might not look it. You see, that's the gospel, the good news, that if God is for you, who can be against you? That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing impossible if I only believe. But the issue is not that it's true. The issue is that do we actually believe it? And you don't really know what you believe until the pressure comes. You can't grow your faith until it's stretched. And when we're talking about you and I being the watchman on the wall, the greatest thing that they're watching is they're watching whether we're falling asleep on duty or whether we're AWOL in our activity. The world is watching us because literally they've looked at the church for so many years and the church has been so weak and so pathetic that they don't want usually to go to the kingdom of God because church is just for weak people. But I'm here to tell you, church is not for weak people. Church is for strong people. Why? Because it takes strength to live by faith and not by sight. It takes the strength of heaven to have a boldness to speak unto this mountain, say thou be removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. It takes faith to stand in the middle of the trial and tribulation and not be moved. It takes strength to not go where everybody else is going. It takes strength to be rejected. It takes strength. It's not weak. You see, you and I are not weak people. The world has spoken it, and we have agreed with them. But literally, they're watching us for hope. I remember in high school, I've completely diverted from the message, so please, if you're up in the booth, don't worry about it. When I was in high school, I got born again March 13th, 1983, approximately 11:31. The youth pastor pulled me into his office. Now, I grew up in this church, 9 Wasser Street. I grew up on the pew, under the pew, beside the pew, and I pewed in the pew. I was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and every other night that there was an opportunity. Man, I remember being there. But finally, this youth pastor pulled me into the pastor's office during the preaching of the sermon, and he said, Spencer, get in or get out. I'm sick and tired of you praying religion. I said, no one's going to tell me to get out. And I started serving God that day at 11:31. And you know, I've had my falters and I've done stupid things here or there, but dear God, I've really served Jesus since that day. And I made a decision that nothing is going to derail me from my mission. And my mission is not being a pastor, my mission is being a watchman. Well, my last year of high school, I started sharing the gospel of a lot. In fact, I used to carry the parallel Bible to church, to school. Does anybody know what a parallel Bible is? It's like 4 versions in one book. So this is the Bible, 3 times that big. I carried that to school. Now, my nickname in high school was Hands, and it wasn't because I was good with basketball. I had a very poor reputation. And I started that year, my last year, my senior year, I started declaring the goodness of God. In fact, at my locker, I had a verse for the day. And I remember this one kid one day, as I'm standing there with the verse of the day, and this kid walked up to me, and my hands are in my pocket, and he punches me right in the mouth. And I first thought was, hit him really hard. Second thought was, if you laugh, you're going to get better results. So I just started laughing at him. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't want to fight. I'm a peacemaker. That whole year, man, I remember being in English class. That's when they used to allow Bibles still in school. The school had them up in the cupboard. And it was an English class. And someone brought up Revelation. And I had just been studying Revelation. So I started sharing about the end times. I started sharing about what God was going to do. And man, it took over the entire class. It was awesome. And I got made fun of for weeks and weeks and weeks. But you know what was really wild? Was all these people that made fun of me. We called them the tapsters because acid drops were really big in those days. So like you'd be sitting in algebra and they'd be passing around acid in algebra class. That was the best way to get through algebra. I didn't take any. No, really, I never took any drugs. My father said something to me. He said, I want to know what I've done, how I've done, who I did it with, and I've had fun doing it. And if you're on drugs or drinking, you can't always figure that out. So if you need help being happy, then you have a deeper problem. My dad said that to me, so I got that. And so here I was, you know. It was amazing how many of these kids, when hell started licking their toes, when problems, who'd they go to? They started coming to me. Now, they didn't come up publicly. They didn't come to my locker and say, hey, I need prayer. They'd meet me somewhere, no cell phones, of course, meet me somewhere, catch me in the hallway and say, hey, man, you know, I know you pray, man. Do you mind just praying with me? Hey, I'm going through a hard time. Do you mind? You know, one kid, my parent just died. You know, will you pray for me? I don't know really what to do. When I graduated high school, my yearbook, in the yearbook, actually the number one drug dealing girl in the school, she wrote, it's finally good to see somebody stand for what they believe. Don't ever change. See, people are watching us. And the greatest gospel we have is not our mouth. It's our life. And so some of us in the room need to clean up our life. Oh, I know. You think I'm talking publicly. No, I'm talking like those things that nobody knows about. Because you think that it doesn't affect you, but it does. It's called mojo. What it goes in always comes out. See, this lifestyle of God is not one of word only, but of deed and living it. Living that life for Jesus so that when they look at your life, they see God. And they might reject you at first, but when trouble comes, they're coming to you. When they want God, they're coming to you. Why? They know that you carry this package called hope. They know you carry this package called good news. That it's not fake. They've watched you long enough. And man, they're wondering, how is it so real? I want this God. I remember this man and this wife, man. She was serving the Lord and he was so angry that his wife was serving God. I'm talking like he was angry. He was not only angry towards his wife, he was angry towards me. And I didn't even know the dude, but he hated me because his wife served the Lord. And I remember one day, he woke, his wife said, he woke up in the morning and he looked over and he said, listen, I need that happiness that you have. And that day, in their own bed, he gave his heart to Jesus. She could have preached all she wanted and it wouldn't have made a difference, but her life preached. Please, folks, the good news that we carry is that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. The message that we carry, this good news, is that God is not dead. He is alive. That this is not religion. This is a vibrant relationship with an awesome God who loves you and is for you, not against you. Man, this is great news that if there's an impossibility, that it's impossible to man, but nothing is impossible to God. You see, this is the reality of who we are and how we live. They're watching us. And the greatest message that you and I carry is how we carry him. That's the good news. I call it being a magnet. True crazy Christians are those that they actually think they're making a difference when they're not. And they're not because they don't go to church, not because they don't tithe, but because they live contrary to the word. And they can't understand why their husband or wife doesn't want God. Well, your husband and wife don't want God because at lunch you're not eating food, you're eating the pastor. You're complaining about the people and the situations around you. Man, it's time to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's time to say, God, man, my life means more than just sucking air and just breathing and dying. Lord, my life means more than just being buried down in a few feet in the ground and hoping that I'm going to get to heaven. But God, you've got great destiny for me, great purpose for me. You've got a great plan for me. And God, I don't always understand what's going on, but this is the walk of faith. The walk of faith is you don't know what's always going on, but you trust the one who's in your hands. You're in him. He's in you. He's the hope of glory. You can't fail if God is on your side. I'm not saying life's not difficult, but when you start living for Christ, people are watching him. People are saying, I want the God you serve. And so today, I want to challenge you this week. I've gone very late, and it's Pastor Dan's fault. I want to challenge you this week to ask the Holy Spirit, what in your life needs to go to make the good news better to those that you rub shoulders with every day? That right there is going to bring a change in your message. How is that message changed? Because have you ever seen somebody change? Paul Musi. I remember the very first, Paul, stand up and wave at everybody. I remember the very first time that Paul Musi came to church. We were down here. Paul had very long hair. Women loved his hair. Paul walked into the church. He had never been there before. And he saw me in the hallway and he said, can I go pray upstairs? And I said, yeah, go ahead. I didn't know what his life was. I didn't know what his problems were. I didn't know what his situation was. But I knew he wanted God. And guess what? He knew where to go. He went upstairs and I watched as years went by. His life changed. He became a different man. And not because he cut his hair. Because his hair was great. But inside he changed. He talked different. He thought different. He lived different, not because he was changing himself, but because he allowed himself to get on the altar of God. Romans chapter 12, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And he allowed the Holy Spirit to change him from the inside out. Rich Blaha is another changed life. I don't know if his wife would say that, but I will say that. I can go through the list of folks that are right here. Honestly. Buddy, Pastor Jenkins, changed man. Amen. My sons, changed men. Terry, becoming a changed man. Each one of us in the Master's hands, he can make our testimony so powerful. They'll know where to go when danger's coming, and they'll hear your trumpet sound because they know your heart and that it's real to you. Bow your heads with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not right with the Lord. You know there's a sin between you and God, and you know that if you died today, you don't have the security in your own heart that you're going to go to heaven. You're hoping, but you're not sure. Jesus never asked you to be sure. He wanted you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven. I want you to know at 7:15 already this morning, there was a whole group of people in this room praying just for you if you're sitting right there and you don't know Christ. All through the week, Monday through Thursday, at 6:15, people have been praying for you because God knew you're going to be here this morning. God knew you'd be watching by live stream.
Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I want you to know Him. I want you to know God. I want you to know that your Father is good and that Christ has great plans for you. You don't need to wander any longer. You don't need to carry sin any longer. He'll wash it and throw it as far as the east of the west. Today, if you do not know Christ, today, if you're in a backslidden condition, you want to get reconciled, you want to get right with God, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. Is there anyone this morning that wants to get right? Thank you, young man. Anybody else this morning? I'm not going to wait real long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, I just speak blessing over your church. God, I declare in the name of Jesus that you are going to move on our behalf and that, Lord, you're going to use our lives. We thank you, God, that you have made us watchmen on the wall and that this week you're going to give us the opportunity, not only how we live, but God, also how we speak, to be able to share the goodness of you with somebody. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Lord, I pray you use our lives like you've never used them before. And God, we give you all the honor and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. If you didn't raise your hand, but you want to give your heart to the Lord, if you'll make your way right on over to Mindy, young man right there. Very good. Now listen, I do got this one more announcement. Brother Ted Shuttlesworth will not be coming. We need to pray for him. He's lost a lot of weight, and he did it in a manner that's actually caused him some wound in his body, and he's being restored. And so next week, we are still having one service at 10 a.m., and then Sunday night, we're having miracle services. Monday night, we're still having miracle service, and Tuesday night, we're having miracle service. We're going to do it right here in our own house with our own pastors. We're going to have a great time. I love you. See you next week at 10 a.m.